just want to encourage you all some more today. And I want to speak about the power of your thoughts. The power of your thoughts. And if you want, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. That's Proverbs 23 and verse 7. If you don't want to turn to it, if you want to just write it down, this will be recorded and it'll be put onto the website as well within the next day or so. So, Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this: "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Another translation says, "For as a man thinks, so he is."
Yeah.
And our thought patterns need to change. If we are to change, then our thought patterns have to change. Otherwise, our thought life can imprison us and take us captive. And so it is important that we together work on our thought patterns. And the way that we work on our thought patterns is through the Word of God. We'll get to that as we move along. So, first of all, scientists have discovered that our brains form patterns or paths, networks in our minds, so that there are things that we do with our subconsciousness and with our subconscious behavior, and we do these things completely automatic. For instance, you can be driving your car and suddenly find that you've arrived at your destination, and you probably can't even remember the last few miles that you came. That has happened to me at times. It's a little bit scary what just happened then. So these pathways have become part of us, and it's important that we make sure that these pathways are in line with the Word of God. And if not, our pathways initially are set up in a sinful nature, and our pathways lead us to sin. And so then we need to start the new process of changing these pathways. We need to start a new process of making new pathways. The Bible talks about renewing our minds. Start with new thinking, created from the Word of God. Right? Romans 12 and verse 2 says this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So Romans talks straight about it. He hits it, Paul hits it there and says, you know, we have not got to think like the world. Mm-hmm. We've not got to be in the world's mould, because the Word of God is transforming us. It is changing the way we think. It is changing the way we do things. And it is causing us to be in the shape and process of the Word of God, to think like God. That's what God has created us for, that we might think like God. Not to think like other people, but to think like God, as to how the Word of God is directing us, the Word of God is training us, the Word of God is preparing us to reign in Christ Jesus. And that is the thing that is important. So it is time for you, for your spirit, to communicate with the Spirit of God and let Him guide you in your thinking. There is so much at this time, as we know, on the press, that we've been bombarded with thoughts, we're bombarded with the media of what's happening, what may happen, what could happen, what's... Nobody yet really knows, only God. And for us, we don't need to panic. We need to make sure that we are resting in God, because God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and as of yet we may not fully know it. But the main purpose is to bring the world back to Christ, to cause the people of this world to know that God is God and that he is a great God, and that the church is to rise up into its position of authority in the world today. But that is going to take us changing our thinking. And that's not ruling over people with dictatorship, but that is ruling with the love of God, because the Bible teaches us to love one another as he has loved us. And so we need to realize that it's about us taking on this place in Christ, but it's about, first of all, deal with our stinking thinking. You know, our thinking often will go against the word of God. Our thinking will cause us to even go against what God has told us to do, because that is that we're constantly being bombarded. The media, and we're using media today, but the media is constantly bombarding us. And so it is important that we learn to actually turn to the word of God and to listen to the voice of God that speaks out of the word, and he does. So let's have a look also at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. I just want to reinforce the thoughts that God is bringing to us. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. And this is what God says to the prophet Isaiah. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." This is a declaration. This is not meaning. This is not just something he's saying off the top of his head. God is making this declaration. And verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Wow. So straight away, God is dealing with the thoughts of Isaiah, and at the same time, he's also now dealing with our thoughts. He's saying that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways of God higher than our ways, and also God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. In other words, God has a greater ability to see beyond and to understand and to take us through into victory. And so for you and I, it is important that we begin to realize that we need to deal with our thoughts. He says in Ephesians, taking every thought captive. We have to take our thoughts captive, because thoughts can create fear. The wrong thoughts will create fear. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And so for you and I, we need to think the thoughts of God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The word of God is there to do its work. The word of God is there to affect us, to change us, to redirect us, to reposition us into a place where when we speak the word of God. We don't speak fear. We don't speak negativeness. We don't speak doubts and unbelief, but we speak declarations.
Amen.
As the Lord would speak declarations. Because today, as we know the word of God and as we spend time in the presence of God, we are the mouthpiece of God. And so we need to know what we speak and is true. We need to know the authority. We need to know that God and his spirit resides within us. And so it's important that when we speak the word of God, we shall see that it shall bring forth back to us a harvest. It will bring forth back a fruit from the word of God. Now, this time that we're living in, many people are in isolation. People that we've been contacting and sowing the seeds of the word of God into people's lives, continue to pray over them, continue to pray into their lives, continue to believe God, that God will touch them and that God will keep them and sustain them through this difficult time. But at the same time, give them such a hunger and a desire of wanting to come back and wanting to connect with God and to connect with us as we lead them deeper into the truths of Almighty God. And so verse 11 says in Isaiah 55, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire. Amen. God intends his word to do something, mm-hmm. right? God does not speak idle words. And we as the Church of Jesus Christ need to have our thoughts aligned with the word of God so that when we speak as the mouthpiece of God. And that the words that we speak will not be empty words, but they will be words of power and authority. And these words will go out, and these words will accomplish what God desires.
Amen.
And without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You see, these words are going to go out, and these words are going to succeed.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. I'm convinced that's what God wants for us. And at this time, it's a time when we need to be drawing closer to God and drawing into his presence. Smith Wigglesworth said this one time. He said, if we want to be like Jesus, then we first need to think like Jesus.
Yeah.
What a statement.
Yeah.
If we want to be like Jesus, then we need to think like Jesus. You know, we need the mind of Christ in our lives. You know, this is what we need. We need that mind of Christ. We don't need to be hearing other voices,
mm-hmm.
right? Because other voices are constantly clamoring for our attention. We need to hear the voice of God, that still, small voice that speaks to us, that tells us what we should do, that tells us which way to go, that gives us the word of knowledge, that gives us the power, that gives us the authority to change lives and to change the destiny of humanity. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're at. This is what God is calling us to do. This is what God, this is the expectancy of God in us.
Yeah.
And so as Wigglesworth said, if we want to be like Christ Jesus, then we first need to think like Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 And the only way we can do that, you know, and it really, first of all, I suppose, is we need to upgrade our thinking.
Yeah.
You know, we buy computers, we buy mobile phones, and we've not had them too long, and the next thing they want is upgrading. It needs to be upgraded. You buy software for your computer, and within a few months' time, and sometimes even in weeks, and you're always on your iPhone getting upgrades, updates all the time. Well, let me tell you this. We need to constantly be updating our minds, upgrading our minds to think like God thinks.
Yeah. Keep
that's why he says in Romans, renewing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We need to renew our minds. It's a constant upgrading. You know, the world seeks to batter us and overload us with the junk of the past, the historical side of ourselves. But God's saying, no, upgrade. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's changing our thinking. I suppose today it's about changing our terminologies.
Mm-hmm.
It's about sometimes defragging our minds from the mm-hmm. junk of this world
yeah.
and doing we scan the disk on the computer, we defrag it, and we get rid of all the junk, and then the thing begins to run faster,
yeah.
begins to run smoother. And we need to do that so that we run spiritually faster. We run spiritually smoother. We hear the voice of the Spirit speaking into our lives and changing us and forming us and shaping us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. And it says, so faith comes from hearing. Wow. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing
yeah.
the word of Christ. That's how faith comes.
Yeah.
It is about hearing the word of God. And you know, I've said many times in the past, when you read your Bible, sometimes read it out aloud, because you are working on your spirit. You're working, the word of God is working on your spirit. It's working on your mind to renew it, to transform it, to bring us to that place where God intended us to be right at the beginning of creation when he first made humanity. And so God has bringing us back to that place of being that new creation, formed in his image. That doesn't mean a physical image, but that means the spiritual dimension of us has to be formed in his image. Because we all look different. Some are short, some are tall, some are fat, some are thin. But the thing is about that. Thank you, David. But some of them, you know, all of us have to be transformed into the thinking of God, yeah. So that we become one heart, one mind, that we have the mind of Christ. And so there is this transforming of us into the mind of Christ. And that is God's intention for us, that we be hearing the word, and that word will bring us to that point where we are transformed into the mind of Christ. That as we move and breathe in the things that we do, we have the mind of Christ in us. And it is so important. So what do we need to do? We need to start digging out our stinking thinking. We need to remove those thought patterns, those thought paths that have locked into our minds over all these years. They started when we were small. They would put fear into our lives. You know, oh, if you do this wrong, that the bogeyman's going to come and get you. Who is the bogeyman? Nobody's ever seen him. You know? We had all these things, and all these things we use with fear as their motivation to get us to do something. And yet, the Bible tells us that God is love. And God is not using fear to motivate us. He's using love to motivate us. He's using faith to motivate us. He's using all the positive and the good things of life to motivate us. And we need to take that on board and to move with that. And so it is about changing our thought patterns. It's about changing the pathways of our thoughts. And that so if we don't change these, we will end up failing, we'll end up falling. And the only way we're going to make this happen, only way we're going to make this work in our lives, is when we listen to the Word of God. Read it out aloud. Speak it into, so you're speaking it into your minds. You're speaking the thoughts of God into your very mind. You're speaking it into your spirit. You know, you're touching every part of your body, and your spirit, once it gets hold of it, and your mind begins to have its thought patterns changed and redirected, then you will begin to see more and more victories. We need to read books filled with faith and focus on the things of God to strengthen us, to deal with our weaknesses, and so that we will transform our thinking. And it will bring us to a place that we will be a changed man and woman for God. And that God the Father wants to bring us to that place of perfection. That's his intention. That is not something in the sweet by and by. That is for the now. God is seeking to bring us to a place of perfection in himself. And you say, well, that can't happen. Well, how is it that with one of the great men in the Old Testament, and it was what's his name? The one that got caught up and walked with Enoch walked with God. That's it. Thank you, David. Enoch, he walked with God. And he was not. He disappeared. They never found his body. The thing was, he had walked with God for so much, for so long, that he had become so perfected within himself by God and God's word and God's presence in his life, that God said, you're too good for this lot. And he brought him on to himself. Moses, nobody ever found his body. No, nobody ever found his body. The word says, well, God killed him. Well, it needed God to kill him because nothing else would.
No.
Think about it, because he'd become such a man of humility. And I believe there'd come such a perfection upon him that only God could kill him and deal with him. And so we have to realize the presence of God will bring us to a place of perfection. That's what God wants to bring us to. So that the habits that are sought to control us, our thinking of the past that sought to control us, will be destroyed, will be broken, will be smashed, and that God will move in our lives in a wonderful way for his praise and for his glory. So let's have a look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. And Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah this, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord?" Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29. You got it? Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?"
Yeah.
Praise is wonderful. First of all, the word of God, the fire of God, burns up everything that stands in his way.
Yeah.
It's like a fire. And he burns up everything that stands in his way. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we rejoice in the fact that God is able to do great things in this. The fact of the hammer of God will smash all that seeks to resist God.
Yeah.
That's what God will do. He will break things, he will shatter things, he will burn things that will stand in the way of you and I coming to that place of perfection. Because that's what God's word is about. God's word is about bringing perfection. When God spoke the word in Genesis and created the earth, he created all things perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's intention, you see, God's intention hasn't changed.
No.
God's plans have never changed. That's why he sent Jesus. And even today, last week we celebrated Easter. The Orthodox Church today celebrates Easter today. Let's have a double Easter.
Amen.
He's risen. The one who was perfect is risen so that he can now make us perfect.
Amen.
And bring us into the image of God.
Amen.
And it's going to happen only as our thinking is changed. And as our thought patterns are changed, and as we practice these things, and as we desire to move forward in God, we shall see that God moving in our lives. Let's have a look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." This is another declaration that God has got. He said, "I'm declaring this over you, that I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity." Wow. There's a lot of calamity in the world today. But guess what? God has said to you, "I have plans for you, and it is not to cause calamity. It is not to cause confusion. It is not to cause distress." But he says, "I have plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Guess what?
Yes.
Today we are guaranteed a future.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. Today we are guaranteed a hope in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? And this is from the word of God. This is Jeremiah the prophet. He's being spoken to and God's making declarations through him. Verse 12, he says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you."
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Isn't that amazing that God is saying, when you call upon me and when you come and talk to me, he says, "I will listen to you."
Amen.
God is about listening to us. God wants you and I to spend time because God wants to hear what we've got to say.
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name. It's not as if we are just puppets on a string, but he is calling us into a position, into a place of power. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 29 says, "You will seek me and find me."
Amen.
When you search for me with all of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody really is seeking God, God says, if they're really seeking me with all of their heart, they will find me.
Yeah.
I will make myself available to them.
Mm-hmm.
I will reveal myself to them. This gives me goosebumps that God Himself, the Almighty, wants to reveal Himself to us as individuals. You know, it makes the hairs on your back of your neck stand up when you think, wow, the Creator of all things has just decided, I want to talk to you. I want to listen to you.
Yeah.
I want to hear you. Verse 14 says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. There's a guarantee. There is a guarantee for you and me. If we really seek God, He says, I will be found by you.
Mm-hmm.
We can find Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's there for you right now.
Yeah.
All you got to do is start looking and searching and reaching out. And He's saying, I will be found
mm-hmm.
by you. Declares the Lord. He says, then He says, and I will restore your fortunes.
Amen.
Wow, praise God. I will restore. He's a God of restoration.
Yeah.
He's a God of restoration. And He's about restoring and bringing back His kingdom in its fullness. And He will restore to His people. He says, I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. Now, I know some people say, well, this was to the Jewish people. I believe that this is to the people of Zion.
Yeah.
And the people of Zion is the spiritual Zion. And I believe what we lost in the Garden of Eden, that spiritual relationship, God is saying, I will restore all of that back to you. Because once we have that spiritual relationship, we have everything available to us.
Amen.
Because we are in that connection, we're in that communion with our Father God.
Mm.
And that is so wonderful.
Amen.
And I believe that as it was in the beginning, so it shall be in this time.
Mm.
God has declared it. God wants that to happen. That's why He sent Jesus. That Jesus would restore the connection. You know, a bit like that television engineer that David needed. He went and found what the problem was. And he put a new part in. Well, that's okay. So when Jesus came, God sent Jesus to come and fit the new part.
Amen.
And the new part that was missing was Jesus Christ.
Mm.
The blood of the resurrection life. The blood of forgiveness. The sacrifice of perfect man. Made in the image of man, but yet the Son of God, but yet also the Son of Man. And so He came and He replaced the missing parts.
Mm-hmm.
He replaced that which was missing in our lives. And then He brought us into that place where we can have a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus, where we can develop a greater depth of understanding of God, and we can hear the voice of God. We've done this in church before. We've sat and said, come on, let's listen to the voice of the Spirit. And we've heard God speak to us.
Yeah.
And so we know God has a voice and we know God wants to speak into our lives. And God wants you to hear Him so that you might speak to others who have not yet heard the voice of God. You might speak into people's lives that have never heard God speak before. And that you might reveal the presence of a real God. That you might reveal the presence of a God who really loves humanity. And so we need to be listening. We need to be tuning our ears. We need to have our pathways changed. We need to have our mind renewed in such a way that our thoughts that are so powerful will not be the thoughts of negativeness, will not be the thoughts of fear, will not be the thoughts of weariness and hopelessness, but will be the thoughts that we have a sure and certain hope.
Amen.
God is with us. God is for us. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. And He will take us through. And He will take us from victory into victory into victory. because God has never invested in a failure yet.
No.
Hallelujah. So none of you are failures. God has invested in you that you might be used for his praise and for his glory. How do we do all this? Well, we meditate on the word. Having the scriptures, just reading the scriptures and letting the word of God build new highways of thought patterns. You know, let's have the word of God begin to create massive highways for the power of the word of God to flow through us, to change the lives of many men and women that you and I will come into contact daily with.
Oh,
I have been seeing on the internet, I've been seeing on Facebook, such negativeness by Christians, and I just find it unbelievable, some of the things that are being said and what I am reading, and I just think, I'm holding back. I just think, no, because they'll fall out with me if I say what I'm thinking. And it's like, just get into the Word of God. Stop listening to the garbage of the world. What does God say? Read the end of the book.
Yeah.
We win. Are you saved with a purpose? Are you saved with a plan of God on your life? And if the answer to that is yes, then it means that you are free to go through the promises of God and move on in the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
That we need to stop listening to negativity that seeks to rule over our lives. And we need to have a personal knowledge of God. If we don't have a personal knowledge of God, you will allow fear to rule over you.
Yeah.
And so it is important that we have a personal knowledge, a personal relationship with God, so that we don't allow fear to rule over us. Let's consider, for instance, Moses. Moses went up the mountain to meet with God, to receive the commandments. He was gone 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, when it got near to the end of the time, the people started to panic and said, he must be dead. And so that means they'd lost their contact with God, because Moses was their connection with God. And so they decided then they were going to make a golden calf, and that was going to be their God. You see, what happened to them was they did not have a relationship going with God, and so they decided that they went back to their old ways. They went back to the ways of the pharaohs. They went back to idol worship, which is what they'd seen for 400 years with the Egyptians. And so they went back to their old ways. You see, suddenly fear hit them. Panic came over them. They lost sight of God. They lost sight of Moses. And so what happened? They turned back to idol worship. They turned back to something that they knew about.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble today. People are turning back to things that they knew about instead of saying, well, and what that is saying to us is that they don't know God.
Yeah.
Because if we knew God, we would turn to God.
Yeah.
And so it's important that today we learn to know God in a greater way. Know his presence. Let's consider Peter, for instance, as well. Peter walked on the water with Jesus. And then it says he begins to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, what happened with Peter was that Peter, being a fisherman, he knew that water could not do what it was doing right then, holding Jesus up. He knew that that water could not sustain a man walking on it. That was an impossible feat. And yet, it was happening. But you see, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and put his eyes on the sea. He put his eyes on that which he had known.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost sight of what he was coming into, that of Christ. And he said he began to sink. And so what we have to realize, we have to catch ourselves, and we have to stop ourselves falling into the old patterns, stop dropping into the old ways, stop dropping into the old thought patterns that have sought to form us and to shape us in this world, when actually we've never had the Word of God. And now we've got the Word of God in our lives, that is wanting to shape us into the pattern and the mind of God, the mind of Christ, that so long God has sought to bring us to. But you see, the devil wants you and I to drop into the old thought patterns. The devil wants to bring you to a place where you're thinking wrong thoughts. We're back to that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, you see. All the time, if we go to that point of not thinking the thoughts of God, we're going to drop off. We're going to fall apart. We're going to sink for some reason. People are going to go back to the old ways. And the old ways are not the ways of God. God says, behold, I do a new thing. And he's bringing us to a place of victory. You know, we can consider Joshua. He managed to lead over 2 million people into the promised land and see all the promises being fulfilled for them that God had given them. How did he do it? He did it by remembering this, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Can you see that? God wants you and I to have success wherever we go. But don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't look at what's happening on the fringes. Don't look what is trying to grab your attention externally from God's plan. But look, stay focused, stay single-eyed, focus on God's promises. Stay single-eyed, focus on the Word of God. And verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, keep the Word of God constantly before you. When somebody is bringing something else to you, if it doesn't fit with the Word of God, flush it.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it. Put it, destroy it. Don't give it place to be resident within your thought patterns. Right. So he says, the book of the law shall not depart from you, not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants us to do all that is written.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He wants you and I to be doing what he's written.
Yeah.
That's the place of the church. That is the place of the spirit-filled believer doing what has been written for us in Christ Jesus. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Each and every one of us wants to be successful, prosperous spiritually in God. And God will do that according to his power and his presence in our lives. But it is according to the Word of God being resident within us. And it is according to us partaking of the Word, spending time in the Word, not always understanding it, but allowing it to become resident within us. And verse 9 says in Joshua 1, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble, or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
His wonderful name. So wherever you go, be strong and courageous, for God is with you. Make sure you're holding on to the hand of God. Make sure you're holding on to the Word of God. And let that Word take you to places where you never expected to go. Don't listen to the voice of fear. Don't listen to the voices of negativity. But listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to the external things going on in life, but listen to what is going on in your spirit. For the Prince of Peace should be residing in each and every one of us. And let that Prince of Peace rule and reign in us, and he will then change the externals around us, because he is greater than the externals. Let's look at, move to Isaiah 42. And I've sort of just said, for as a man thinks, so he is. How are you thinking? What is governing my thinking? What is governing your thinking? What seeks to take hold of you and to control you? Isaiah 44 and verse 21 says this, pay attention, O Israel, for you are my servant. I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget to help you. Praise God. As we pay attention to God, as we pay attention to the Word of God, he says, he will not forget to help us. Isaiah 44 and 21. He says in verse 22, I have swept away your sins like the morning mist.
Yeah.
I have, you know, when there's mist on an early morning, when the sun rises, it burns off the mist.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, just think about this. You know, when the world's seeking to bring its sinful ways, to bring its morning mist, the cloud in our judgment, clouding our direction, just remember, when the sun rises, S-O-N, the Son of God, when the sun rises, it says the morning mist will be scattered away, will be driven away, will be swept away. And he says, I have scattered your offences like the clouds. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus has paid the price to set us free. Jesus is the one who has set us free.
Yes.
Jesus is the one, the Son, who has risen, ascended and glorified, and he's driven away the clouds.
Yes.
He's driven away the mist. He's scattered our offences, our mistakes, our things that we've done wrong. He's got rid of them.
Yeah.
Because it's Jesus.
Amen.
And all we have to do, he says, return to me. He says, because I have paid the price.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Today, Jesus has paid that price on that cross. He's risen, ascended, and glorified.
Yeah.
And he's paid the price. John chapter 8, he says, you are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Mm.
Praise God. You know, how do we know the truth? The only way to know the truth is to get into the Word of God.
Yeah.
This is truth. This is truth. You listen to the news media, it may, it could, it might. They're not sure. They don't even know what truth is anymore.
No.
But the Word of God has never changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. And so we know the truth of the power of the Word of God. Don't listen to some other type of doctrine. Does what we believe match up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, then we need to change.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to line ourselves up with the Word of God. We line ourselves up with the Word of God. And it says, and that truth, the Word of God, will set you and me free.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Thank God for that. You know, Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says this, there is death and life, they are in the power of the tongue,
mm-hmm.
and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me tell you, we can speak good things, we can speak positive things, or we can be negative and speak bad things about people. And these are dangerous because we studied in James just recently about the power of the tongue. When Jesus spoke the word, people were healed. In the beginning, when God spoke the word, the universe and everything in it, the world, was created. And so, to those who are spiritual, God is saying, realize that in your tongue, there is the power of death and life. There's the power in that tongue. And there's power in your words. And so today we need to realize the power and authority that Jesus has given to us. Read Matthew 16. Read Matthew 18. I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you all power and all authority in his name. And so, and how are we going to use that? We're going to use that by speaking it out.
Mm.
The other day we were, some of you have seen that we were online and we were praying for Daisy in Gainsborough. And the Lord said to me, Andrew, declare this in the name of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote what, and I declared it out loud in the name of Jesus, what I wrote. And within a few minutes, a message came back. She's calm. Daisy's calm now. She's asleep. The fits have stopped. We are wrestling against principalities and powers.
Yeah.
And we have to stand our ground and we have to take our place spiritually where God has appointed us to, and we have to declare the word of God. And so we need to move in those areas. And we will see the fruit of our words. We will see the fruit of what we have done through the word of God coming out of our mouths. He says, we shall eat the fruit. We shall eat the blessings. We shall know the presence and the power of God. And so whatever you and I focus on, that is what will grow.
Yeah.
So if you focus on negativity, if you focus on fear, that will grow. But if you focus in faith and on the love of God and the presence of God and the faithfulness of God, then that will grow in our lives. And as that grows, we will know the presence and the power of God. You know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul again says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
Yes.
We need to build ourselves up in faith.
Yeah.
It is the word of God. It is dwelling on those things. You know, we are being fashioned for faith.
Yeah.
And not for fear.
Yeah.
We're being shaped and molded for faith and not for fear. We were never created to live in fear.
Amen.
You know, they say that the doctors can't understand why people who don't... university doctor said this. This is what he said. He said, the people who worry die sooner than the people who don't worry, and we don't know why. Well, it's simple. The life of God flows through the children of God, and they should not fear. And fear seeks to destroy. Fear comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. That's the devil. The devil comes with fear, and the word says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he carries with him the sword of fear.
Yeah.
And fear is not to enter into our hearts. That's why we have the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness upon us, that sword shall never enter into our hearts and into our lives, shall not cut us, because God made us to live in faith and not in fear.
Amen.
And as we live in faith, we shall see the victory. So many times the word of God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't fear, don't be afraid. Change your thinking. Focus on the word of God. Let the word of God deal with our stinking thinking, and let us be people who will see the fortunes of spiritual Zion restored back to us in the presence and the power of the word of God flowing in our lives and through our lives for his praise and for his glory. Let the people of God arise. Let the enemy be scattered.
Amen.
And when we see the kingdom of God rising up, we shall see the enemies of the kingdom of God being scattered and being destroyed. So today, there's power in your thoughts.
Yes.
There's power in your thoughts for victory, or there's power in your thoughts to bring you down to sin and to the desperate place that Satan wants you to be, so he can take hold of you and rule you and control you. But God has saved you through faith in Christ Jesus. God has set you free through faith in Christ Jesus. And the power of your thoughts will renew your mind, will renew your spirit, will bring you to a place of a relationship and a conversation that you can have in God that nobody else can have. The devil cannot interrupt it. The devil cannot get involved in it. Only Jesus and God can talk to you and the Holy Spirit. And we need to realize that more and more. And all of this comes through spending time in the presence of Almighty God, spending time in his word,
Amen.
Listening to the voice of God speaking into our spirits, because he wants to communicate with us. The Holy Spirit was sent so that he would whisper the very thoughts of God that are being said in the throne room right now towards you and I.
And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's come to reveal the words of God into our hearts and into our lives. And let's rejoice and receive them for his praise and glory. There's power in your thoughts. Let the word control your thoughts. Let the word direct your thoughts. And let us see the victory upon victory upon victory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.